ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rawcast. This is season 10, episode 19. It is the Fuck Sydney Week complete episode. That's right, we get to talk about two victories against Sydney sides, and I'm fucking pumped about it. What a way to end a season. I am joined by the two cohorts that joined me last time I hosted this shit show of a show. Ben Clark, how are you, mate?
Oh, mate, just good to have two Fuck Sydneys to talk about. You know, it's been a long season, but, you know, like you said, two Fuck Sydneys to end it. Couldn't really be better.
End on an upward trajectory. It's always good to end with a Fuck Sydney. And the other gentleman who shall be joining me for a bit of a Fuck Sydney episode will be that photocopier himself, Yoshiba. How are you today, sir?
Fuck Sydney, fuck Sydney, fuck Sydney, fuck Sydney, fuck Sydney, fuck Sydney. Sorry, someone had my had the copier on. Sorry. doing better now.
As I said, ladies and gentlemen, we'll just have to wait till he stops saying fuck Sydney. That's when the toner will run out and we'll know. Or we could just unplug him, but that wouldn't be any fun.
you would be a really great copier repair man. How do I stop the printing? Just wait until the
just wait till it runs out of just wait till it finishes. Let it go. Get it out of its system.
Welcome to the photocopier La Brisbane podcast.
Yep.
let's talk about some fuck Sydney.
Yeah, let's talk about some fuck Sydney. We'll start off with the last game of the A-League men's season, the entire A-League men's season. That is Brisbane Roar 3, Alex Parsons in the 36th minute, Juan Lescano in the 40th minute, Luke Ivanovic in the 67th minute, defeating Sydney FC, Max Burgess in the 30th minute, bookings to Connor Chapman in the 23rd, Trent as I've spelt it, Trent Bahagia in the 56th, Alex Wilkinson in the 86th minute. A grand total of 1,727 people attended this game, apparently, which seems about right, to be honest. And, look, it was one game I actually got a chance to get out to for this one, even though it was midweek. As did you, Ben?
I did. First game of the season, mate.
Yeah. It's good of you to come to a game and then we get 3 points. You should come to all games out at Redcliffe.
Yeah, no. That doesn't sound appealing to me. But did have a good time. And, it was very, very pleased to, you know, fuck Sydney over, even though it meant nothing, was a complete dead rubber. Nobody could move up, nobody could move down, nobody could really affect anything at all.
Hey, hold on. Whenever we're fucking over Ryan Grant in Sydney, it doesn't mean anything.
Sydney. Oh, look, outside
of... I get it.
Fuck Sydney. Outside of fuck Sydney. It'd be nice if it meant that, you know, we were making them miss finals or something just by ourselves.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's where we are.
That also relied on Sydney being competitive this season, and they weren't. They were only marginally more competitive than us. The only difference is their season started strong and then died in the arse. Our season was middling to average and shit for most of the year. We just happened to make up a little bit of ground because they were so poor at the back end. And I think that showed. Obviously, they had no legs. They were they'd come off the back of obviously pretty hectic schedule going into ACL. Then the ACL campaign in which they won zero games and brought that fantastic form from ACL or from the A-League into ACL, then into the end of the A-League where they just continued to lose matches. And obviously we were fortuitous enough to be able to take them on in one of those in that last game there to make the most of it. But Nate, do you think we actually played all right in this game overall? Or was it just Sydney were just dead?
Sydney were majoritively dead, but I think we still played reasonably okay. It felt like one of the more enjoyable Tuesday night games I've been to in a while, but maybe that was because of both of you two gents also being there. as well. I think we played reasonably well. Sorry, it's not anything too gigantically in depth, but look. Yeah, sorry, my brain's just like, what can I tell you about this game?
Well, I'll tell you what,
yeah, well...
Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I think that it had the tempo and the, desire of a, two teams that have missed finals and it's a complete dead rubber, last game of the season, nothing to play for. There wasn't much quality on display, despite Sydney, despite their season, have a lot of talented individuals. I expected more from them. We certainly just had more energy and desire than they did, and that's like, it wasn't much in itself, but that's all it really took in this one. Like, it wasn't a fantastic performance, but it was what was required to beat them, and thank goodness for that.
Well, as we said, I think you're right, we did what we needed to do, but let's have a quick kind of look at the goals themselves, just really briefly. Of course, Matt Burgess opening the scoring, basically getting himself in between two defenders with a free header. That was just poor defensive work, wasn't it, Nate? If you remember the goal, Nate, or are you there even?
I'm trying to remember. might be.
Do you remember any of the goals? Can you remember any of the three goals that were scored, or four goals that were scored?
I do remember Alex Parsons' goal. Definitely.
Now that I've established that Max Burgess had a free header in the box for us, and I think it was just poor defending. Let's move on to Alex Parsons' goal, set up by Eli Adams. Tell us your thoughts on that one, Nate.
Alex Parsons, well placed. Good to see him playing again. But we'll come back to that that later on. It was what was required. Sydney.
Did you are you surprised he got a header? Because that's not something we've really seen in a lot of his gameplay, really. He's very much ball to feet sort of player. I'm surprised he's I'm happy he was able to score a header, but I didn't expect that sort of control for him, Ben.
Yeah, no, I was, impressed by that myself. Like, I think he's maybe scored one other goal with his head, like, from close range or something, but, like, most of his...
Yeah, but this is, like, the penalty spot.
Like, this was a, really nice, placed header, like, just very, very much a, target man sort of goal, like... not a goal that you expect of a player like Parsons. So I was pleasantly surprised. The ball in from Adams was fantastic. I thought it was a very well taken goal. Great setup. Like, can't really ask too much more. I think that he, him being there was quite a surprise to the Sydney defenders, and they've got some experienced heads at the back there, so that was, well done by him, and yeah, he tucked it away nicely. I thought it was very well executed goal.
Though speaking of a goal that you didn't expect, sorry Ben, I was going to say I didn't expect the second goal.
Well, yeah, I was going to say the second goal, this is, I suppose, in all honesty, if we look at the actual play itself, this is probably one of the better goals of the night, which was Lascano getting on the end of playing a 1-2 with O'Shea, and O'Shea just tearing the back line apart with a pinpoint ball through ball for Lascano to run onto. For me, this was absolutely, like, okay, let's rip on Lascano for all of his faults this year. He and O'Shea just pulling out that one, that was a beautiful bit of play. I thought that was probably the piece of play of the night, if you like, in terms of pass and move and execution.
Yep. Yeah, look, and he took it well, and a golden boot winner won Lascano.
On boot for the A-League season. Let's clarify. Ivanovic has put a few away in the cup.
Yes. But look, hopefully it's a joint award because that would make me laugh. but I really, like, as much as, you know, the goal was well taken and all of that, I am so happy to not, you know, just ever have to talk about Juan Lescano again.
You will, because, like, he's here next year.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll get on to that.
But just seeing him, you know, bumbling around. Yeah, he scored a goal. Great, fantastic. But, like, I was very happy to see him, you know, depart and
come off
for
the
some
pitch.
Players I actually am excited about to get on the pitch.
I like that you were happy to see him leave the pitch. That was your highlight of the match for him.
Yeah,
was him fucking 100%. Off.
And he scored a goal. And that was still my, like, number one Juan Lescano moment. As it has been most of the season. Let's be honest.
Yeah, well, let's face it. That's been your go to that. When did he get subbed off? I'm trying to look at the things on thing. I don't think he did get subbed off. I don't know. He must have got subbed off at some point.
No, he came off for. He either came off for Ivanovic or for Hoare. I forget.
Okay, no, fair enough. Google's telling me porky pies, but never mind. Speaking of the subs, of course, we did have a double sub which brought on Ivanovic and Milo Yuzhnich. And within a minute, 1 minute, Milo Yuzhnich had put one on a plate for Ivanovic to score the third. Great bit of play down the left wing and cut back for Luka to put away. Nate, is scoring a third and putting the tie away against Sydney the best way to finish a season?
We're considering Luke's arms up in the air as he scored that goal.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot that he played
was,
for them.
He was well happy. No, that is the way to top it off, definitely. And it just put the game away. Sydney season done.
You think season-wise, Ivanovic and Miljusic will offer a lot more next year? Like, obviously, they had their issues with injuries. Do you think if we keep them fit for a full season, that we're going to get a pretty good output from them? Because I see a lot out of Ivanovic. I think he's got a lot to offer.
I'd like to hope a full season of them together will come good. Because, granted, we did have some injuries at the start of the season, granted, yes. So I definitely think having them together on the pitch together we'll see how preseason goes. We'll see.
Look, my thoughts on it are really summed up in one thing. If Luke Ivanovic didn't have injury problems, we would not have seen Juan Lescano on the pitch nearly as much, and that alone is a good thing.
True. Do you think we might have actually had a? I'm not saying he's going to win his games, like a heap of games throughout the year, but do you think if we had more Ivanovic and Milo Yuzhnich, we might have had more of a shot of getting closer to the six? I mean, we ended up being 13 points off. I'm not saying we would have made up 13 points, but do you think they were worth at least, you know, 5 or 6 points throughout the season, just on off their own boots?
So I reckon Ivanovic being the difference as opposed to Lescano, as opposed to, you know, where he could have put chances away that Lescano did not.
Yeah.
You know, I certainly think that that's a big possibility. Like, obviously, you know, there's a lot that changes there. It's a big butterfly effect thing, right? But, you know, if you just do a straight swap, you know, I would certainly say that he would have put away a lot of chances that Lescano did not. So, you know, I think we would have been more competitive in games at the very least. Whether we got more points or not, who knows? But, like, yeah, certainly I think we would have looked more dangerous and been more competitive in a lot more games. I think that's about as much as you can say.
Yeah. Nate, I'm going to throw it back to the other side of the pitch now, just with Jordan Holmes. He obviously made a few really big saves in this game, kept out probably three solid chances that Sydney had with kind of one-handed kind of palm away or saves. Is he going to be? Because obviously he's had some ordinary moments this year as well. But do you think he's good enough to be our starting keeper into next year? And would you keep Freek as a result as well? Would you look for someone maybe as someone else that might be that second keeper to bring in now that we know what Freek can do?
I would definitely say yes. Definitely, Jordan at the start of the season. I mean, look. Whole goalkeeping scenario with Brisbane Roar, we know how it was. It was literally, let's put three names in a hat and let's just see how they go, because yeah, how are we going to replace Jamie? But no, Jordan, as the season has gone on, did I just call him Jamie or Jordan? Just making sure I called him.
You called this our one Jordan. Yeah, you referenced Jamie Young, but you...
Sorry, just being careful there. Jordan, definitely, as the season went on, continued to have more and more games where it was clear as day the crucial saves he was making. And I definitely think right now, going forward, yes, he's our number one next season. Freck, I'm on the fence, but if you put the hypothetical gun to my head and say choose, I would say keep him around, but no, see, I'm torn. I don't know. I really don't know if Freck. It's like
I'll get off the fence for you. I will say that Jordan Holmes should be unquestionably the number one. Like, I think he's definitely done enough. And I definitely think that what was our dodgy keeper under Fowler, who was the one that he started with?
Scrocum.
Yes, good old Scrocum.
Old Scrotum.
I definitely got very big Scrocum vibes from Freck. Like, you know, I think he was put in from the start, you know, trusted with it, blah, blah, blah. And then as the season wore on and he just was getting exposed and his confidence was just, you know, completely shot, they brought in Holmes. Holmes immediately showed way more than he ever had. And then we were wondering, well, what the fuck were we doing at the start of the season with this guy when we had this guy on the bench? Like, it was very clear night and day, like, why did this even happen to begin with? And you sort of question the judgment of the coaching staff on it, like we did with Fowler and Crocombe. I think that situation has been resolved now. And, you know, if Freck wants to stay, you know, I don't think number two goalkeeper is a massively important position. If he wants to stick around and fight for his place, then, yeah, cool. Be a low-cost option to do so. But, you know, it certainly wouldn't bother me if he moved on. And I certainly think that him handing out gloves like they were candy to the kids at the game was potentially a bit of a sign that he might be
telling,
moving on.
A bit telling, yeah.
He really was giving those gloves away.
Oh, yeah, he's needed to get rid of them. I think he had to... He probably had another supplier ready to line up for next season. Who knows? But I tend to agree. I think Freck got the position as the incumbent because he was there at the season beforehand. Moon knew what he had from the season beforehand. But Holmes came in as that, right, well, you are fighting for this position. Freck, you've got to keep this position. You're going to get you'll get the position to start with. You have to keep it, and ultimately he couldn't. Ultimately, it was a case that that Holmes was much better and deservedly got that position. So I'm pretty happy with Holmes. I think depending on his ambitions, if he wants to go back overseas, we might keep him for a season or two, and then he's off again. But if he's happy enough to kind of hang around for a while and be one of those, say, career keepers in the A-League, he could definitely be, you know, a pretty solid unit for a decade in Orange if he wanted to, if he kept up that standard, to be honest. I can see him improving on where he's at too.
And I certainly think with the influx of Australian goalkeepers coming back to the A-League, like, I don't think you know, if his ambition is to get Socceroos caps or whatever, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's not a crazy thought. Like, you know, if that's what his ambition is, you know, I think that those keepers have showed that you don't need to be playing overseas to get caps. You know, if you stand out sure. here, you're gonna get capped. So, you know, if he, you know, plays even better than he has, and I think he's been one of our better players this year,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would say that, you know, it's not completely outside the realms of possibility.
I tend to agree. Any more thoughts, comments on that game, on the final game of the A-League men's season?
Yeah, well, I just some, you know, personal thoughts, because it was my first home game of the season crowd of
1,700.
Very, very, very...
1,700 excited.
You know, very generously counted 1,700, might I add. Yeah, I would just say that, you know, I have been reticent about going back this year. you guys had to really drag me, and I only just arrived as the game kicked off.
You arrived after kicked off, let's face
because
it.
Because I literally got a free ticket and then also forgot the game was on and then just did a last-minute madcap dash to the stadium.
Did laugh when I was at the ground after me travelling all the way. I had to travel, and you're like, oh, I forgot the game was on. It's like, we're talking about it literally the day before. Like,
yeah, yeah. That day, I think, we talked about it. But anyway, yeah. It was, you know, yeah, it was, it kind of reflects where my head's at with attending games at the moment. And with the club more generally. And while it was great to see you guys and it was great to, you know, take in one last fuck Sydney, you know, I certainly think that that'll be the last match I attend for a very long time, you know, potentially, you know, ever, unless certain major things change. And, you know, it was certainly a very... interesting last hurrah. Like, you know, the club support has been stripped back to, you know, next to nothing. You know, the den is just dead. You know, outsung by
the den Christine is
travelling.
From what I was, and it's fans. The first time I'd been to a game for a number of weeks. I've been to a couple this year, but it was the first time I'd been for a little bit. And it's the first time I've really got a chance to be in the den without my son with me. So. It was interesting to see, and admittedly, it's a Tuesday night. I know that it's, you know, people don't go to these midweek games because it's all the reasons we've said ad nauseum over the seasons recently. But
of course. But regardless,
effectively, you have two sections there. One was where we were at the top, where there was maybe what 10 of us in total, including the people that I didn't know. But and then you maybe had 15 to 20 people at the front, and it very much felt like if you weren't singing whatever the people down the front were singing, that they won't join in. They'll just watch you and then wait till you finish and then go their own set. And if you don't, that, you know, that's all it's going to be. So the den has very very quickly become very clicky again, and that's disappointing. Because you would think that the den should be a place where people are encouraged to join in or start things, or, you know, if you bounce ideas of each other. This isn't, it's not a case of, you know, I was singing what I want to sing and everyone else has to sing it with me, or else. It should be, hey, that's a funny song. Hey, that's a good song. Let's all sing that together. Once that song's finished, okay, maybe start another song that you wanted to sing before that. It shouldn't be clicky. Appreciate there's going to be friendship groups and that sort of shit like that, but from a support inverted commas aspect, pretty dire.
And obviously, like, you know, as we've sort of said, you know, it's a Tuesday night game in a season where we're just going to finish 11th no matter what the season is on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
You know,
very much,
but
wrapping up, you know, was a shit time.
Yeah, a shit time, you know. Obviously, you know, as we'll get to, you know, in our next show, more than likely, you know, a COVID interrupted season again, you know, a season where it's just been, you know, our fixtures have been moved around from pillar to post, no consistency at all. But, you know, it's regardless of that, regardless of all of that, it just shows what a disaster the move to Redcliffe has been. Oh, yeah. Because even a midweek game with against a terrible opponent, you know, our bottom out number was like 6,000 to 7,000.
Yeah, 100%.
At Suncorp,
you've lost,
and it's really stripped away not just the casual fans, like, because obviously the casual fans are not going to go to fucking Redcliffe. But it's stripped away the rusted on fans. Like, the rusted on fans that are there are the fucking barnacles that are on the side of the rusted ship. Like, they are, you know, you have to scrape them off.
They've made a home
like they are attending, you know, anything that is a Brisbane Roar senior men's game.
Yep.
Right. And that's like, but that used to be 6,000-7,000. So where are those other 5,000 now? They're like me, they're just not bothering. And it's a damning indictment on the move to Redcliffe. It's a damning indictment of the absolute contempt the, you know, club has for the fans. And it's just, yeah, it's a really, really sad situation to see where the club has dropped to, you know, not only on the pitch but off. And yeah, they've got to make some serious fucking changes. As you know, I think we'll come to some of those exciting
developments later on, Ben. But let's wrap up on that high note that you've just given us. Let's wrap up the season with the club championship ladder, which of course is the title everyone's really, really concerned and wanting to make sure that they win. So let's wrap up where the season club championship ladder ended up since the finals are going now for the A-League men's. We start with Melbourne City, who won the club championship. They're on 82 points. Congrats to them for winning the trophy that no one else has won before now. Melbourne Victory on 72, Adelaide on 70, Sydney FC on 66. They were by far and away the top four, given that most of those clubs three of those four clubs were in finals in both competitions. Sydney FC, fuck you guys. You weren't in the finals for one of those, so suck it. Wellington, first time in the A-League women's, and obviously their A-League men's season, ended up fifth on 46 points. Western United, by virtue of just their men's side, so they're not included in the championship ladder, but they would have finished in sixth place with 45 points. Based on the current standings. Brisbane in sixth place, though. We got 43 points. So we've scored less points across two teams than Western United scored in one. Good on us. Brisbane Roar, sixth place, 43 points. Central Coast would have finished just behind us on just their men's team alone. 42 points for them. Then Perth with 42 points in seventh. Newcastle in 39 with 39 points in eighth. Western Sydney on 34 points in ninth. Western Sydney only beat the two teams that didn't have corresponding clubs in Macarthur, 33 points, and Canberra United on 13 points. Sixth place, though, mid-table-ish. Nate, Ben, what do you think is club championship?
It could have been better, could have been worse, although I have a feeling that potentially this club championship...
They didn't make anything of it, though. No one cared about it.
I think it may end up in the bracket of the... season, I can't remember the name, but that pre-season cup we had the first season of the A-League for the Asian, for the OFC Champions League.
I love the idea of it, but there was no execution of it. Like, there was no, hey, this is where they are in the thing. Hey, look, this is what we need. If Melbourne wins this game or if Brisbane wins this game, you know, there was nothing kind of done with it.
Nothing. There was nothing attached to it. Like, it was just a nothing burger of a, you know, concept.
I don't even think they were showing it after. I would have thought the right time to show it is obviously, you know, post game coverage where they're going into, like, you know, the Alex Tobin Medal That would have been the time there.
Didn't even automatically update it on the website. They updated it once a bloody week, if that, on a Monday afternoon. It's like, surely you have a live ladder for this sort of shit. It wouldn't be that hard to put together. It's simply, it's an Excel spreadsheet, right? Here's your A-League men's ladder. Here's your A-League women's ladder. Get the other sheet that says add this to this.
Oh. See, Dave, that implies that there's staff there that, you know, give a fuck.
It's an Excel spreadsheet, for fuck's sake. it's not hard.
Yeah, but once again, right? It's a great idea. Like, you know,
poorly executed.
You know, I think great idea, poorly executed. But it's also like when you've got Western United that, you know, didn't have a W League team, they will next season. You know. Central Coast the same, MacArthur the same, like, you know, it's you know, it's just so incomplete as to be like kind of pointless at this stage. Like, you know, it, once all the teams are complete, do it, great, but why bother doing it half-assed like now? Yeah, like, there's just I think there's just very little point to it.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. That wraps up the A-League men's season for 2021-2022. But our season didn't end. Well, at least the team's new season potentially started. Only a few days later, Western Sydney hosted Brisbane.
Because Dave, what is also today's show?
Well, today's show, thank you for saying that. Today's show is also the annual Australia Cup, not FFA Cup, the annual Australia Cup show. So, and of course, we only ever do one of these shows. So, you know, it fits. Well, I think we've done like two of them earlier this year, but new season, new year, new me. Started a couple of days after the old one finished. Western Sydney 1, Jared Carluccio in the 8th minute. Brisbane Roar 3, Cyrus Demme, Cup specialist in the 51st minute. Luke Ivanovic in the 58th and 75th minute. Booking Sir Tommy Aldridge, just to give one more fuck you to Sydney sides, in the 81st minute. In front of almost as many people as went out to the Brisbane-Sydney game. 824 people. Did either of you guys get a chance to watch this game at all? Obviously, free-to-air on...
I watched the whole first half and then basically turned it on just after Cyrus scored in the second. But, geez, we just looked...
It was shit that first half.
Dumb. We were so done in that first half. They should have scored probably three or four in that first half. They were absolutely all over us. Carluccio's goal was really nice and well taken. And we just got cut open for it, like we did for our first goal against Sydney as well. But we clung on for dear life in that first half. And then, obviously, I can't speak for Cyrus's goal, but after that, we certainly steadied and, Ivanovic at the double and the second half, it was definitely
one-way traffic.
Tale of two halves, and that was one-way traffic as well. So, very good to, you know, beat A-League side in a Australia Cup fixture.
The interesting thing, Nate, and I'll pull you in here, did you get a chance to watch any of this at all?
Only the highlights, unfortunately.
That's all right. We'll come to the highlights.
But I'll
get you to run us through the Western Sydney goal, though, because it came from a free kick, but it wasn't exactly flawless from Western Sydney. They were a bit fortuitous in how it ended up.
They were very lucky with I would say a very wicked deflection off a Brisbane player to defer where the ball was going. Granted, though, the Brisbane players should have had a bit more of an idea, maybe, you know, hey, keep your eye on the ball. But it was just one of those moments in football where it's just like the ball's fucking gone absolutely ridiculously crazy, and our defence wasn't ready for what was coming afterwards. But then this, the save that we made not long after, where we had, pretty sure it was Aldridge and a couple of other players on the line.
Yeah.
That was decent.
You also had, and I should touch on, well, I'll mention Lescano missed an open goal in the end of the first half too, which was fucking terrible.
Oh, fucking Jesus Christ. How quickly he can go from, sorry.
Well, don't say hero to villain, because it's not exactly hero to start with. I should note, it was pretty much his last action of the game, because he was substituted off at halftime, along with Alex Parsons. And Eli Adams coming off as well, where you had Ivanovic, Demi, and Milosevic coming on. And tell you what, if you want to make an impact sub, Milosevic and Ivanovic have just proven themselves in the previous game. Come in, do the job here as well, along with Demi, who gets in on the action, being the, as we said, cup specialist, picking up some crumbs in front of the keeper. Happy he scored it, but fuck, why couldn't he do some of that shit in the league season too?
Yeah, he just seemed to be, you know, like, not off the pace, because, I mean, he's, you know, but just those balls didn't bounce in the right places for him during the league season. Like, you know, just didn't get the rub of the green at all. Like, you know, I thought he put a few shifts in when he played early and when he came on as a substitute later, and, you know, but, like, you know, the stats speak for themselves, don't they? Like, you know, he's gotten a lot of opportunities and he hasn't scored, and other players that have had probably less opportunity have, and, you know, I certainly, or at least have had, you know, bigger impacts on the game. So, yeah, I had big hopes for him, but yeah, I just don't think he's probably up to the level.
Do you think they'll keep him on? Right.
I think they'll keep him on. Yeah.
I also think we had another moment there. I thought you were going to go in a unit. I think he should get kept on for at least another season to give it another shot, and hey, maybe Cyrus is just our cup specialist. We just keep him around the training ground for when we play in the cup.
I mean, he won't be on much money. He'll be on minimum, just about minimum wage, I'd say. Maybe a slight bump up after
his season. And that'll be why they keep him on. Yeah, yeah. Because you know, really, for a minimum salary player, you know, he provides energy. Certainly, if they can provide him better service next year, because, I mean, you know, he was toiling around all by himself for, you know, a lot of games that he was in. You know, if they can get him better service, he might do okay. But, you know, clearly he's one of these players that needs the service and can't function at all without it. So, yeah.
The Australia Cup now, of course. We are into the round of 32 after that result. Gentlemen, let's quickly just touch on the NPL men's, who have played one game since we last had a show. We got a 2-2 draw with Olympic. Pretty good result, really, since we're Olympic, a good side. Sitting in 8th position still. 2 wins, 2 draws, 4 losses. 8 on the board. We next play Brisbane City at our new home ground of Underwood Park, down at Rochdale there. Into some news. Gentlemen, let's talk player releases. Yesterday, the club released 3 players. They announced Rio Wada, going back to his home club on loan. They also announced Nick Olsen. Leaves me a nice little space here to introduce to you the final 280 facts for the season. All the player review things come up, but, you know, it's player last one for the regular season. Gentlemen, I don't know if you're aware of this, but in Kuwait, in Article 5, the law there states that Kuwaiti women married to non-Kuwaitis cannot pass citizenship to their children unless they're widowed or divorced. Application of this article is increasingly rare, and the women require a strong patron to ensure a wasta or a political favour. Did you know that, guys?
I did not know that. Who sent us in that Kuwaiti fact, Dave?
Well, from the one man that knows all about Kuwaiti women's rights, Ashley Wynn. So thank you very much, Ash, for getting involved.
Indeed. While we were researching that, Ash Wynn, but, you know, anyway.
I have it on strictest confidence, and I'm told not to say this, so I definitely won't say this on a recording, that he was just Googling richest Kuwaiti women, and that's what came up. So it makes sense.
Makes sense, you know, hashtag Kuwaiti wives. Yeah.
Kuwaiti wives matter. I'm done.
On a related topic, I don't want to see the rest of Ash Wynn's browser history, so yeah, we'll just move on.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, and the final player released was Alex Parsons, who, of course, we have a little bit of insight into this one, potentially. Alex Parsons, first of all, what are your thoughts on these releases, guys? I'll get your start. You start here, this one, with Nate. On the three players, what were your thoughts generally on these players going?
My thoughts was bye-bye Rio, bring back Danzaki, rest in peace, Kuwait facts, and fuck you, Brisbane Roar. What the fuck are you doing with Parsons? That's my thoughts in a nutshell.
Yeah, fair enough. What about you, Ben? What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, look, WADA really offered nothing, you know, like the rest of our imports, O'Shea excluded, and, you know, O'Shea and Aldred excluded. Like,
just say, put some respect on Aldred.
Yeah, I mean, Aldred's been pretty fucking shit this season too, but, you know, also injured, but so, you know, a bit of an excuse there. But, I would say WADA just not, he didn't offer anything really, like looked lively for maybe like 10 minutes of one game. Like that's about it.
The first 10 minutes, very first 10 minutes where he put in that assist. It was brilliant then.
Yep. And we're thinking, oh, maybe there's something here. turns out there wasn't. Then Nick Olsen was exactly kind of what we all, I think, thought was just, he kind of came in, did some things in an uninspired sort of fashion and didn't really do much to
leave any
sort of lasting memory. Very squatty, very, very squatty. So Alex Parsons, you know, he was definitely not like, you know, I definitely think that is just another example of the wild mismanagement that this club offers up year after year. Like, he is going to go somewhere else and succeed. He is going to have a great career. You know, it's bizarre to me that we would choose essentially Warren Moon, who took us to the great heights of 11th, versus, you know, choosing Parsons, you know, one of the best young talents to come through the club in recent years, somebody that is a potential future Socceroo, potential future Oliroo, like whatever the case may be, like he could go anywhere, and that the club would make that sort of decision when, you know, are they going to fire Warren? Are they going to go in a different direction? Like, you know, allowing that sort of thing to happen is just another example, and I wish him the best. If he goes somewhere else in the A-League, kills it, scores against us, I want to see him celebrate, and I'll be celebrating too, because we just routinely treat our best young talent like this, and it's shit, and we need to learn our lesson finally from it.
Pretty sure we will. Just my take on it really quickly. WADA expected. He was on loan anyway, so no worries about that. Nick Olsen, as we said beforehand, very squatty, so he was always going to be the best of the rest, if you want. Best of the rest isn't really the right word, because he wasn't the best of the rest either. But he was definitely a player that filled a spot to make sure we had enough players in the team. For that, we salute him. Thank you for coming back from Q8 to show us that you could be there just at training. Alex Parsons. So you could be the 11th person in that 11-on-11 game. Alex Parsons, holy fuck. This is mismanagement on another level, I think. It's we've kind of touched on kind of what we presume. Nate, you kind of had a bit of a 5-point sort of reference to how you think things went down.
Yes. So I had a 5-point plan of how I feel.
You're a politician with a 5-point plan.
Yeah, you clearly, you know, I'm good talking shit out my ass.
Vote one, Nate.
So I can. Yes, and you helped me out, Dave, as well. But I have a fairly. This is not truth. This is just what I believe has happened.
So speculation. Speculation's fun, though.
Yeah. So we've got one. Parsons is not really in the manager's plans at the time. Granted. Two. Parsons alerts the club he's looking at other options for next season. Three. Other clubs start talking to Parsons. Four. Management realise they could be about to lose a talent and start working him into the matchday squad. Five. While Parsons appreciates getting game time, he doesn't love what he's seeing and chooses to leave for greener pastures. Whether he's got a contract on the cards or he doesn't, Parsons has seen what's here and has gone, yeah, I'm leaving this shit show. And
Now, the reason I wanted you to say that, because I thought that was actually really, really solid sort of timeline of things, and I tend to agree that's probably what happened. Since we had to rediscuss some of these issues, we've had let people that are on the inside of the joke there know what that one is. We've had a source just pointing the finger at the operations side of the football operations side of the club in terms of what's happened with Parsons. So it leads me to speculate, and I must make clear it is speculation, that he's had conversations with other clubs. Now, the other part that I suppose was indicated by this source is that he's not yet actually signed to anyone. So I speculate he might have actually re-signed like a pre-contract with someone, and that he's left because he's got a gig somewhere else and it's about to be announced and all that sort of stuff. Suggestion is that he may actually have one, but I would probably assume from that he's probably got at least offers on the table ready for him to choose. Whether it's local or overseas, I don't know, but you would imagine that clubs let him slip here. It's poor effort because he was a bright bloody spark in a fucking turgid time. Just COVID generally, I mean, and having to go to Redcliffe and all that sort of shit. But my Alex Parsons say, yeah, he's a player. We can bring him through. We can develop him. You know, if he's going to leave, we can sell him, right? Sell him for a bit of money to build up the club. No, he's just leaving. He's been released. It's like, the fuck are you guys doing? This is an opportunity, and you've just thrown it in the bin because you couldn't be asked, or you were too late to fuck around, or you know. Someone didn't. He's not the most charismatic player in the world, Alex Parsons. But he didn't smile at you at one training session, for example. So you know, it's bullshit. But,
and I think that, like, you know, it's not like, you know, he'll have a shortage of offers. It's just that, you know, maybe those aren't on the table right at this second. But
I would suggest he probably has offers on the table. This is again all speculation, but I would anticipate if he's agreed to be released at this stage, he has offers on the table, and it's just about him picking where he wants to go. And
now that other clubs are starting to make their own decisions as well, you know, there may be more coming, more clubs go, hey, you know, like, you know, for example, you know, Wanderers have just released a suite of attacking players. You know, that could be a landing spot for him. You know, there's, you know, basically pick your club. Pick, you know, Yeah,
he's the sort of player. He's the sort of player I can see either doing one of two things: going somewhere else in the A League and being kind of building, like you said, kind of building up and being an amazing player in the league, and you know, fan base loves him, all that sort of shit, and builds a career here. Or he goes to a place like Denmark, where he starts his career sort of in one of those sorts of leagues. He strikes me as the sort of player that would just be like, you know, wearing mittens, long sleeve, freaking kits, and would just tear up in like the Danish league. I don't know why. It just kind of matches up for me. But he, I can see him going to a league like that, and maybe building his career from there. Again, all speculation, all conjecture. We're just kind of mapping out thoughts on in regards to this. But it appears that the club's fucked this one, to put it lightly.
Yes, indeed.
Information. Let's have a chat about a conversation we had a few two months ago, regarding Jack Hinger. Now, you might remember we brought up that he had a contractual thing where he was potentially going to have a clause that triggered when he played a certain number of games. We got told that he started the next two games, so we thought there wasn't too much in it. We've since had a bit more clarity around that. Ben, do you want to kind of give us a bit of a rundown of the information you've since been, I suppose, passed on by, again, an unnamed source, but that's just to protect the people that are passing on the info. What were your thoughts in regard, or what were your information on this one?
Yeah, so basically, you know, there was a bit of a blow up during the season because Hingett, you know, had a clause in his contract that if he started 18 matches this season, it would trigger an option for a third year at full salary.
Football manager, that clause too.
It is very football, very football manager. I appreciate it on that front.
Always go for the club optional contract extension. That way, you don't have to worry about numbers of games. You just extend it if you want to extend it. It's a dumb act, dumb move, really, isn't it? Anyway,
it really is. Like, yeah. So basically, when he hit 17 matches, he was not played, and I mean, I think we commented on this at the time that he seemed to just be replaced in the squad by, I think it was, you know, Zabala and stuff that were good players and, you know, fair play to Zabala and all of that. But, like, you know, basically he was being ordered by the football department to not play him, you know, until a renegotiation was completed. Warren sat him out for one game and basically said, get this shit sorted, I'm playing him in the next match, which he did. And the option was triggered, but because Jack is a good dude, he renegotiated a lower salary for a new contract anyway. For a three-year contract, I might say. So
we can exclusively confirm that Jack Hinget will probably be announced as having a three-year contract or re-signed for 3 years shortly?
Yes, this off-season, yes, absolutely.
About July, maybe August. Whatever the news cycle's low.
Yes, indeed.
Do you think there with Hinget taking that reduced deal there, do you think that puts him as a little bit more of a Brisbane Roar legend? Maybe not in terms of the playing side of things, obviously. Well, he has been, but obviously we're talking about here more in terms of, all right, Hinget's all right. He's taken a cut for the club.
That's not so much the thing that puts him in that area for me. He's been consistent performer for the club for, by the end of this, it'll be 14 years. 14 years is massive, right? Huge. Huge sort of time frame for any player to see out. So it's basically a career, right, at one club. So for me, he'll be a Hall of Fame player no matter what happens at this stage. And I know people will be like, oh, but he's shit, he's not as good as... No. He's held down his spot for... And done a good job at it the entire time. He's never really been the sort of player that's had a bad season. You know what I mean? He hasn't had standout seasons, but he's a defender. He's a fullback. He doesn't score banger goals. He's bloody good at his job.
Let's not forget, he was brought to the club by Ange.
Yeah.
Like, he has seen some shit. Like, he has seen some fucking ups and downs at this football club. And he has possibly
may see one more.
That's right. So, like, you know, well, in 3 years he might see another four managers. Who knows? but you know, certainly I would say that, like, you know, regardless, he is a club legend. Like, he's, you know, what? How many games has he played? Like, he's in the
733.
He's played a fucking. He's played a billion games for us. He's, you know, definitely a club legend, regardless, because he's a member of title-winning teams.
I think it's just an outrage that he was not included in the voting for the A-League All-Stars. Just disgusting, really. He should have been in there.
100%. I mean, a Perth defender was in there, like.
They were contractually obliged to have at least 5 players in that list, so I think that's all it was. Yeah.
And Perth's got to get something this season.
They don't. Let's move on. Bit of other news, a bit of other rumours coming out from that Sydney game. Reports that we are likely to move back to Suncorp. Now, those rumours turned into full-blown reports on, I think it was Channel 7 or whatever it was. The suggestion is that we're probably not going to take our entire season back to Suncorp. But we'll just end up having sort of selected games. So, you know, they'll bring Sydney up there so they can pretend they're playing State of Origin again and, you know, bring up Victory because, you know, we hate Victorians, that sort of shit. But, of course, when Central Coast come up here, you know, the team that we've actually played a grand final against, one of the greatest grand finals in the history, they'll take them to Redcliffe. I mean, first of all, Nate, you happy that we'd at least be likely getting some games at Suncorp again?
I will be happy as long as it has the interests of the club at heart, because we all know that about or speculate around that, you know, there was the break even points for crowds at Suncorp and we weren't making any money from being there. I just like to hope it. Somehow there's been a bit of, with Suncorp, Queensland Stadiums, I hope there's been somehow a bit of you scratch our back, you scratch yours type thing. Because, yeah, as long as it's working a little bit in our favour, that's what I'm, yeah. Look, it's better than what I was thinking, because I was expecting next season we'd be playing at North Ipswich Reserve. And yeah,
still be.
Yeah.
Clive Berghoff Stadium out at Toowoomba.
Kingaroo Showgrounds. Rick James of this parish.
Ben, should you practice some games?
No, it's not. But I will absolutely say that, you know, I mean, really, we never should have left. Redcliffe has been a failure. You know, it's definitely something that we should be looking to play games in the Brisbane metro area regardless, because we're Brisbane Roar, we're not greater Southeast Queensland Roar. And I definitely think that it's going to bring some people back in. It's going to bring the casual punters back in. It's going to bring people that just haven't been able to access Redcliffe back in. But are those people still engaged with the Roar after this time away? That's an open question. And
there's going to be, you know, there needs to be a lot of fucking work done to generate the interest again to make sure that people come back to Suncorp, because there's going to be a lot of people that said, I don't care anymore. I haven't been for, where were they? Where were they playing again? Redcliffe. Oh, they're back at, no, that's, I mean, it's good they're back at Suncorp, but I don't care. I don't know who they are anymore. I don't have any connection to it. And it'll be it'll be apathy. It'll be apathy that's killed it, because the apathy that's, you know, kind of
lingering around
itself.
The club.
Yeah. Well, it lingered around the club, but ingrained itself in the support now, because, of course, you've had, okay, COVID's impacted scheduling, but we've had midweek games at fucking Redcliffe. You can't take games up to Redcliffe, have it midweek, and expect people to fucking show up. That apathy, that lack of a schedule, which is you can put up on the fucking fridge, you know, door and say, oh, we've got a game this weekend, you know, that's all contributed. And then it's all happened because we've, right at the same time, we've took our club 45 minutes up north instead of keeping them central. Like, if they kept them central, I appreciate the cost was huge. They kept them central.
If anything, the midweek game should probably actually be at Suncorp to actually possibly get a crowd in. But I was just going to say, though, because there has been some news that did come out today around the Toombul Shopping Centre will sadly no longer be repaired after the floods.
Are you about to pitch my idea?
Maybe.
Just pitch it. Do it. I want you to say
Well, let's see if we're on the same track. I was going to say, if it's anything that can actually be done with this club and all the stadiums, Queensland, yada yada yada, it would be nice to see as the possibility, as an option for a boutique stadium at the Toombul Shopping Centre location, but then in that build in parklands, community facilities, etc., yada yada yada, make it a community hub as well.
I do have to pour a little bit of hot water on that, because Mirvac, who own the shopping center land and facilities there, only just in 2019 paid
2016, right.
So they paid $228 million for the site.
Yep.
I think that converting it back to that is not going to be something that's feasible for state, federal government.
I don't think it will happen, but it's a lovely idea.
It's not going to happen. It's a pie in the sky sort of thing, of course, but even as part of a mixed development, I can't really see it. But, you know, we have other stadiums that, you know, are in the Brisbane metro area that would fit, it would do in a pinch, that we could utilise for, you know, a midweek game against, you know, MacArthur. Like, you know, you can use Perry for that. You can use Ballymore with its, like, you know, 1.5 usable stands. You can use, like there's options in the Brisbane metro area that aren't completely fucking shit, right? And you can use Suncorp for the bigger games, sure, but like, yeah, it just, you know, as I believe we sort of talked about earlier, like, you know, we used to bottom out at, you know, 6,000, 7,000 at Suncorp. Those fans are gone. Those fans may not ever be coming back. We're not bottoming out at that at Suncorp anymore, because those fans have just disengaged. So whatever happens is, you know, you need to draw fans back with, you know, cheap or free tickets. You need to, you know, you need to really make a big song and dance of being back at Suncorp. Draw fans back through the gate, get them back hooked again. And, you know, without a better squad to show, like, you know, without investment in the playing squad, you know, that's also going to be for nothing. So, like, there's got to be, you know, if they're doing that, they've got to actually use that. They've got to, you know,
you got to roll the dice, right?
They got to roll the dice. Whether that be with a marquee, whether that be with, you know, just the recruitment of a playing squad that people actually want to see, like, you know, not an NPL side, like, you know, whatever it is, like, they've got to step shit up if that's what they're going to do. And
great.
And they have to do something there, because otherwise, imagine the sight of the get 3,000 to 4,000 fans at Redcliffe, imagine the sight of 3,000 to 4,000 fans in Suncorp. It's going to be fucking...
Well, that's... Well, right now, that would be the reality. If we played, you know, really at any time there, like, your maximum is probably what your minimum was before.
I would say realistically, we'd probably get 6,000 to 7,000 probably today.
Yeah, maximum.
Max, yeah.
And that is a bit of an indictment on the state of the club. So, yeah, we need to build back. We need to, absolutely. First of all, the one thing that they have to do is members that have suffered through the last 2 years, there's got to be some fucking discounted membership stuff for those guys.
Fuck yeah.
Because they have been fucked over like nobody else. Like, incentivize those people to fuck. Like, give them free shit.
You just rewind that. You just said to incentivize them to fuck. You want them all to have extra kids. Is that what you're saying? So they can have more members.
Fuck yeah.
You want their members to make members, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Okay, like, sorry, carry on. Incentivize them by fucking. Right, got it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And whatever they want, they should get. No. But in all honesty, those people need to be rewarded for sticking with the club.
Sure.
And if they're not, those people even, like the people that are so rusted on their barnacles, they need to be rewarded, or those people too are going to get fucked off. Like, it's like the club has got so much work to do just to get back to neutral, you know, that, yeah, it's just got to happen. Like, otherwise this is just going to be, you know, playing in an empty stadium again.
Absolutely. Let's move on. Now, one of the things that we're kind of linking some of the news up here, but one of the things that also came out this week was it was Football Australia bringing out some licensing conditions for the clubs. Now, these licensing conditions are primarily obviously around standards required for professional clubs, but also then extend down to particular levels or requirements for NPL clubs and as you go down the leagues and whatnot. No, it's entirely possible that this move to Suncorp is kind of in line with any sort of requirements around that as well. You would imagine there might be something to do with that. But I'm surprised that this wasn't in place previously. I would anticipate it's probably something that was there loosely before the split of the FA and the A-Leagues, but now that split's happened, all Australia's kind of putting their foot down on and kind of putting it in writing as a bit of a, hey, you need to do this now. Is that how you read that?
Yeah, so I definitely think that it's basically just saying, hey, you know, we know that COVID's happened and, you know, you haven't been able to probably do a lot of this shit, but here's our bare minimum expectations. You know, Wellington, who have been playing in Australia, and Western United, who still don't have a stadium, and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, here's all your stuff that you've got to get, you know, here's all your bare minimum expectations, and it, you know, is a fair, you know, it's a fair thing to ask of all the clubs. Now, you know, obviously it would have been better if there was something like this that was in place before COVID and then it was just paused for COVID. But you know, it's certainly fine to do it now.
It's probably possible that was the case. You'd imagine that they would have had something in place and they've said, you know what, if we put this in place now, while no one can get fans in the stadium, it might be a bit harsh on them and they're going to struggle, so we'll just maybe pull back on it, maybe kind of let them know this is what we're doing, but we don't actually implement until XYZ, whatever it is,
until things are back to normal.
Or at least some sort of normality. Let's face it, nothing's normal still. What is normal? What even is normal? A couple of good news stories. I'll start with the bad news stories and we'll get into the good news. Bad news story: David Poirier, CEO, is taking medical leave. And may well be taking, I don't know what the situation will be, hopefully he's all right, but head of commercial Corey Matteau will be the appointed acting CEO in the interim. But David Poirier, not well, and obviously left to look after his health, which is the important thing there. You got to look after your health first and foremost, but not a bit sad to see that he's not doing so crash hot.
It is a shame to hear that. I'll be honest. For the last 12 months, when I've seen David across, I've been a bit concerned. I just hope that David had an absolutely fantastic fitness trainer, and I was going to ask him, hey, how do I
you keep yourself looking so slim?
but I've been genuinely concerned. I've been worried that is there something wrong? Because David, he's a lovely guy. As much as sometimes there's been a few ups and downs happen. Things happen.
Well, I mean, whatever you think of the running of the club and whatnot, he's as a person, he's a good bloke. But and no one wants to see anyone obviously ill or not well. So obviously we send him our best wishes and hope he gets better soon. And hopefully we see him around the club soon again. Because that's it's never any good when someone has to leave to look after their health. You want to hope that they're already well and fine anyway. But yeah.
No, absolutely, and all the best to Dave and the fam, and hopefully can push through. And but look, I would also just say, you've done the best you can, Dave. Just take some time to recover. If that means not being the CEO anymore, then just
do what you've got to do, mate. Let Corey go do it. Let him sort it out.
Yeah. The
biggest problem, just let him do it. Now,
sorry, just remember mate, free beers member, just remember that.
Now the good news stories, two things. Kai Truan on his 21st birthday, happy birthday to you Kai, named in the Uluru squad for the under 23 Asian Cup coming up.
Which
starts at the start of next month, like the 1st of June is the first game, so it's coming up real quick, apparently on Paramount Plus, so you'll be able to watch it as well. Congrats Kai, that's great news. He's going to be partnering up with old mate Jordan Courtney Perkins, the back line there, so having two Raw lads there, or at least one former Raw lad and one current Raw lad.
Jordan, just don't talk to Kai, okay, about any contracts overseas, all right? So let's just keep Kai.
Hey, I got this contract longer in Poland waiting for you. when's your current one end? We'll get you out of it. It's all right. Great news there for Kai.
All the contracts in the Ukraine, mate. It's okay. Don't go there.
Don't choose the Russian contract. Just don't do that. And Ange Postecoglou, former manager of our fine club, winner of two championships and a premiership. We made a big giant banner with his arms in the air, and another one where... Actually, did we make a second one? I don't know. I mistook the one with the scarf for him, but
we made a couple, but...
He sung some songs.
We sung some songs, and we all, I think, revelled in his time here.
He's just gone and done stuff in Scotland too. He's gone and won that thing too. So, Ange Postecoglou is featuring Tommy Rogic, champion of Scotland. Well done, sir, with Celtic, of course. Great to see.
Yep, double winners in his first season. Yep.
Yeah, double winners. He won like three Manager of the Months. Which I mean, to be fair, they probably usually go half between that and the Rangers manager half the time, don't they? So if it's based on results, it would be Ange Postecoglou, well done mate. It's incredible achievement, not just to have done it in Australia, because people do that in Australia, but then to take that overseas, apply it internationally, to the international game, apply it to different cultures, different football levels, and it showed fucking Brazil what's for, didn't you? So good stuff, mate. Well done. So excellent news story. Tommy Rogic, of course, leaving Celtic, so he's apparently not coming back to the A-Leagues, but if he comes back,
he should,
we'll love him.
He a bit early for the A-League there, and Tom, as long as it goes well for me, I hear there's a place for you in Yorkshire, mate, so
he'd enjoy playing the championship.
Come down the border.
Really love playing the championship. It'd be great stuff for him.
Michael Bridges and Optus Sports did actually say that he could see him fitting into a Brentford squad or a
It'd be really exciting. It'd be super exciting to see Tommy Rogic lining up for Leeds down at Adams Park when Wickham get promoted to the Championship as well. It'd be wonderful. So,
mate, you got to get Akinfenwa to actually get you there first.
He'll get us there, mate. Don't you worry. He'll bulldoze his way like Scott Morrison with the ball on the back of the net. Just watch out. If any kids in his way are in trouble. let's move away from the news. Let's get on to the tipping. We're on the home stretch now, guys. We're halfway through finals, a little bit after halfway through finals week now. And we've got three games to go. So as we record this, we're recording this straight off the back of Adelaide-Melbourne City drawing 0-0. And I tell you what, that result has put the cat amongst the motherfucking pigeons. We have a contest here, gentlemen, and ladies, if you're listening too. I was referring to the YouTube boys in terms of that, but ladies and gentlemen, you're all involved because you're the listeners. You get to play along too. Scoreline. Well, we have seventh place locked in. I think it's fair to say. I don't think anything's going to change in that particular spot because we've got Nate.
I call bullshit.
Points. A measly 24 points behind the listeners. Just 24 simple points. Only three games to go, but I reckon if we make every game worth 10, I reckon you'll win the shout. the listeners on 100 points. Dan. Well, Dan's definitely not going lower than fifth because the listeners are 5 points behind Dan. He's on 105. But it's going to take an effort for him to get past Ben, who's 108. He's three points ahead with three games to go. One similar tip, and Dan's stuck in fifth. Ben is 2 points off myself, who's currently sitting technically third on 110. I sit third, only a point behind the two leaders of Pricey and Rick on 111. So going into the final three games, with all due respect to everyone else, it really is a battle of three people now. Myself, Pricey, and Rick. It's 1 point separating the three of us. Fuck me, if I get the bridesmaid spot again, I'll be fucking pissed because I've done this tipping thing for about fucking 6 years now, and I've not won it once. And I finished second or third pretty much every fucking year. I better fucking win. That's me just kind of talking shit now. Gentlemen, we've got two games coming up that we know of. We're going to get your tips for both of them because there's only two games. So we'll start off with Melbourne Victory versus Western United. Going into this game, Melbourne Victory 1-0 ahead after the first leg. Ben, your result after 90 minutes for this one?
Victory versus Western?
Yeah, that's right.
Victory, please.
I'm also going to tip victory for that one. Nate, what do you reckon?
Screw it, Western United.
Why not? Why not? It's a result after 90, so they could win 1-0, take it to extra time, but you technically get the tip because it was a result after 90. Right, so that's the beauty of tipping for that time frame. The other game, Melbourne City versus Adelaide in Melbourne, of course, as well. Going into this game, 0-0, so no one on the board. I'm going to tip City for this one because it is in Melbourne now, so I think Adelaide won't do as well away. Nate, what are your thoughts?
I am going to tip Adelaide, and I know it's crazy, just simply because I feel like Craig Goodwin fella is going to do some magic.
That would put cat amongst pigeons, my friend. That would be... It would be good to see if Adelaide could win that, but yeah, we'll see what happens. What do you reckon, Ben?
I'm going to go with draw.
Draw. Taking it to extra time. Fair enough. Now, those polls will be put up... today's the 18th, so as we record this. So those games are 3 days away. Those polls will probably go up on probably Friday at some stage. Make sure you check out Twitter. It's, of course, at the Rawcast. And you'll have the opportunity to put your tips in for that one as well, for those three games. Now, you might be sitting in second last and you can't really catch anyone from there. It's about pride. And you guys have hit the 100 mark, so raise your bat. Be proud of yourselves. Well done. Two of the three people on this podcast have hit the 100 mark, so okay, very impressive. And we won't talk about the third one. I will, though. The last round of the A-League, the last seven games, you guys tipped perfectly. 7 from 7. Congrats on a perfect round of A-League tipping. Round 23. Well, what we dive is round 23. You are one. You have now one of, well, six of us have tipped at least one round, whether it be double Ute League. Seven, one of us has not. I think you probably guess who that one person is. But
pricey.
Yeah, definitely pricey. That's it. But yeah, so congratulations on the excellent tipping run. Fingers crossed you guys can do a job, get a few good tips in. Just a tip for the last three games of the year. Right. Now, a couple of details we'll touch on in a second, but do you guys have any comments, anything you wanted to add to the tipping, any sort of banter or sledging or kind of just random shit you want to say to people while we're here talking about the tipping?
Well, look, I just also wanted to say that, you know, I think I'm officially out of the running. You know, 3 points behind with three games left, and if you guys literally get any of yours right and I get any of mine wrong, then I'm out. So I think we can pretty much call that I'm going to be out of it again.
Put it this way:
it's been a pleasure being so shit.
Price or Rick, either of them tick victory or a draw in those two games, just once, you're out. You can't catch him.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say, I'll look forward to trying to do better next year.
Well, glad you mentioned that. We may well still have a tipping competition next year, but I did want to round off this pod just by quickly touching on, I suppose, the plans for next year, because this will actually be the final regular season show. As we all know, that we have the end of season review shows to come, where we look at each player, where we chat about kind of the season as a whole and have a bit of fun and a few laughs at the same time, a few beers at the same time. But it's not just the last regular season show, it's the last regular season show ever. Rawcast will not be continuing on to next season. This will be our final season. Was a pretty hard decision to make, but I think it's the right one because we're all pretty fatigued after a decade of doing this. So, but we will obviously, like I said, have our end of season shows, and not just look back at the season, but look back at the Rawcast, look back at our history, all the things we've done, all the things we've loved doing and talking about, and some of our favourite memories. And I think you, Ben, suggested that some of the listeners could even get in touch to give us their favourite memories of the pod if they wanted to get involved.
Yeah.
In that way.
No, absolutely, and something I think you suggested, Dave, was you know, that if you're listening to this show and you've never gotten in touch before, and you've been a regular listener, you're a bit of a part-time listener, whatever it may be, get in touch because we want to hear from you, and you know, hear what you think. And what your favorite memories are of the show, and
even if it's just saying, you know, thanks for well, I've, you know, gone a Dan Hoban length trip to work, you know, just
exactly.
Thanks
exactly.
for doing a just, Dan and, Hoban and, length of time. I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah, and more just so that, you know, we get the chance to kind of know, you know, who you are, and you know, that you know whether you enjoyed listening to the show or not, because, you know,
I hope you do. I hope you have. We haven't done this in vain for 10 years.
But, like, you know, yeah, we just want to hear from you, and you know, yeah, just if you think all the stuff, you know, to get in touch over the last 10 years hasn't worked yet, let this be the time that you actually listen to that and you actually do get in touch, because we do want to hear from you, and this will be your last chance anyway, so if you don't, then you're shit out of luck.
Particularly that one listener we have in apparently in Bulgaria, like, please, guys, like, if you are listening from overseas and you've, you know, you've literally become a Raw fan just because you were in Brisbane for, you know, 6 months and, you know, that sort of thing, just get in touch. Anyone, get in touch. We want to hear just, hey, you know, like, why are you supporting Brisbane? What did you think? You know, that sort of stuff. Like, so,
and please, and yeah, what's your story as to why you became a listener and why you support the Raw, and how that's all going? Because I think, you know, we'll also you know, have an episode in our end of season blowout, which is quite self-indulgent, where we talk about all that stuff and our own journeys with the Roar and kind of where we're at and all that sort of stuff too. So, you know, yeah.
If we don't do something self-indulgent,
it's going to be quite the end of show ever blowout. So yeah, do get in touch.
We need to get on the pace for that one, I think. What I was going to quickly say is that if you don't know how to get in touch, obviously we've got a few different means to do it. You can get in touch via facebook.com/therawcast, or of course at the Rawcast on Twitter. Importantly, we put all these podcasts on anchor.fm/therawcast. That's anchor, anchor.fm/therawcast. Now, if you wanted to leave a verbal message, there is a function where you can just leave us a quick 1 minute message, even if you say, hey, you guys were shit. I really hate that Dave guy. Or I really love that sexy voice that Ben has. You know, all that sort of shit. Do that. We'll probably play all of them because it's the final time. Who cares? We'll play it all regardless of what you say. But, we'd love to hear from you if that's the case.
Yeah, so, especially if you want to like call me a cunt or something like that, or try out.
I didn't say that on purpose because we don't have that much time to put a recording together. Pricey does not have that much time to edit.
but also, if you want to call in and try your own accents to include on the last show,
yes,
you know. We would love to hear your accents.
Oh, it'd be really top if I could hear them all, guys.
Yeah, I can't believe it'll be the last time.
It'll be the last time. Where do we go once the show ends? We don't have these accents again.
I haven't put my kilt on in no time. Jesus, did I actually almost do a Scottish accent there? No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't almost do one at all.
Nah, I'm just from Jamaica, man.
Hey, I'm man. I'll do Australian one in a second. You fucking right? You can you? That's a super broken one. That's my Cairns accent. Anyway,
more sounded like you possibly be a Liverpool, you know, because that's a great football club.
Leprechaun, my leprechaun accent. sorry, mate. I cut you off before we went through that, Nate. What were you going to say?
Honestly, since I just started doing Scouse accents, I can't remember, so it's all good.
I did mention, though, obviously, where you can find us again, facebook.com/therawcast, at the Rawcast on Twitter, anchor.fm/therawcast. Of course, you can hear these podcasts. If you're hearing this podcast now, you probably know this, but hey, one last blowout pod, I'm going to let you know anyway, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, any other good, bad, or indifferent podcasting platforms. And what was the fucking thing, Nate? Ben, what was the fucking... And if you... What was the fucking podcast review thing we did? I can't remember the fucking words to it now.
If you rate and review us...
We'll read it out on the show. And that was the thing, it was rate and review. I forgot that bit. We 100% want you to review us, rate and review us on Spotify, Apple Pies, do it all that, because it'd be hilarious to get all these fucking podcast ratings, like, when the show ends. 100% want you to do it.
Yeah.
Just for the fucking shits and giggles. Do it.
Just make sure you remember, PVS Rawcast is a different thing. Don't rate them.
Yeah, you need the one with the logo of the, you know, the microphone in the name of the Rawcast. You need that one. But that's it, guys. That's our last ever regular season show ever, forever. I want to thank you guys. Thank you very much, Nate, for joining us on this one.
It has been a pleasure. Thank you so much, guys.
I can't.
Thanking you, Dave.
And I think you talked over the top of me there, but that's okay. And thank you very much, listeners, for joining us on this one. As I said, we will be back soon with our end of season review shows, and we look forward to hearing from you then. Bye bye.
Ciao.
Love you. Hey Siri.
Google Brisbane Football Review podcast application process.
Okay, I found this on the web for Brisbane Football Review podcast application process. Check it out.